Hello and welcome to Banter, the panel game where we try to establish what's hot and what's not. I'm Andrew Collins, and joining me to hammer out our top threes in categories covering anything from Beowulf to Teen Wolf are Chris Addison.
Hello.
Jenny Eclair.
Oh, hello.
Richard Herring.
Hello.
And Will Smith.
Hello.
Okay, before the show, each of our panellists was given a different category. They were asked to write down their top threes for that category and to put their answers into a noisy envelope. Between the rest of us, we'll be trying to come up with top threes for each of these four categories one by one, with points scored for good suggestions, good objections, and for naming any of my personal favourites, at which you'll hear this. And remember, I can stay here as long as I like. I've got plenty of marking I can be getting on with. So, shoulders back, chest out, stomach in, it's time to inspect our first top three. Our first category is your top three dances. Now, in each round, whoever filled in the envelope for the category in question sits out the chat. In this case, that's Jenny, so if you sit this one out, please. Will, what do you think? Start the dance.
Well, one of my favourite dances is the MC Hammer dance. Because he dances like he's avoiding sniper fire. I like the other one I like is where the man mimes that he's lassoing the woman and then kind of pulls himself towards her in a kind of, you know, I have trapped you like a beast, now we shall dance. I like Cossack dancing as well, because it fascinates me, because if you look at Cossack dancers, they have a look of absolute glee on their face, whereas I look at it and I think, that looks agony. It just looks like I'd break my back, my heart would go. It's not a dance you can do easily in the modern
era. I want you to do it now, Will.
It would basically involve me kneeling down and then falling over.
Richard.
I like the Huckabuck. Most of these songs, when they make up a dance, they tell you how to do the dance in the song. But with the Do the Huckabuck, it was Do the Huckabuck, Do the Huckabuck. If you don't know how to do it, then you're out of luck. Which seems rude in a song that has created a dance to then go, well, I'm not going to... Oh, we've created a song, but we're not going to... A dance, or we're not going to tell you how
else could you learn?
Well, presumably, seven-inch singles, there would have been diagrams on the back. It might have been a fold-out thing that you could actually, you know, place your
feet
on in the living room.
But then if you don't know how to do it, unfold the diagram on the back of the seven-inch...
That would have been the lyric.
Yeah. The Agadoo dance, which at least, you know, in the song told you how to do the dance. Agadoo, do, do, push pineapple, shake the tree. I don't know why I push pineapple. That's just push anything, isn't it? There's not a specific action for pushing a pineapple. Agadoo, agadoo, push pineapple, ground coffee, and then you had to grind coffee. To the left, to the right, jump up and down to the knees. Then we dance all night to the hula melodies, which is the hard part of the dance.
Plus, there are about four times of that said in the song, so for each time you play it, you've got four nights' worth of
Although,
that you've got to be doing.
Although, that said, there were only two members of Blacklace, so I don't think they could enforce that.
But very much in pop music those days, it was done on an honour system.
Yeah.
Chris Addison, what do you think?
I like... I've always been a big fan of cannibal dances. I like people dancing before they eat their food. I mean, like, the only people who dance before they eat their food are cannibals and Morecambe and Wise. I generally quite like tribal dances, but when the Queen goes on a state visit, I'm really like, and she has to grin and watch another tribal dance. I've always wanted the person hosting her to turn to her and go, go on then, you'll go.
I like Lord of the Dance Settee, which is the most dance, wherever you may be, I am the Lord of the Dance Settee.
It's
a gigantic settee in heaven that Jesus is
on
the
settee.
If anyone tries to get on it, he goes, get off, I'm the Lord of the Dance Settee. That's what I imagined when I was 4 years old.
I like the pogo.
Pogo?
Yeah, pogo. Yeah. The pogo is the simplest dance, but it is ultimately because there are two moves in the pogo. There's jump up in the air, move one, and land, move two.
Because I was a punk in Lytham St Anne's.
Which was a hub.
Wow.
There was a pub with quite low ceilings, with beams, you know, wooden beams, with horse brasses on them. So people would be pogoing, and they wouldn't do the landing because they'd collapse, they'd up and then back down with their heads bleeding.
That's evolution.
Yeah.
I liked, again, dating me to my school discos, the Prince Charming dance from Adam and the Ants, which I remember Maria Coopy particularly doing it. She drew the thing on and then did the Prince Charming, and everyone walked up to the front doing that.
Looks like, terrific. They look like they're trying to make their way through a wardrobe very slowly. I've always thought for sheer... Because dancing is a tremendous waste of time. So I always like those ones that they do in period dramas where they talk at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
Because it just
kills
two birds with one. That's right. Yeah. It's just walking... And, yeah. And you know.
And then occasionally going, yes, you look like a slag. Ha! But something wittier.
Yeah. Jane Austen's not as easy as no. It looks. Yeah.
Well, I'm afraid time's up on this topic, so I'll be asking you for your final top threes very shortly. Before, though, I need to remind you about the Joker. As usual, if any of your top threes match what Jenny has in her envelope, you'll get a bonus point for each match. But if you think you can predict some of Jenny's answers, you can play your Joker and get double points for everything you match up. So you've all got one Joker. You have to play it at some point. So if that's all clear, let's see if anyone's feeling lucky. Richard Herring.
I am going to choose the Lord of the Dance... Michael Flatley version, the Lord of the Dance Settee, Jesus is... and I will also choose the Prince Charming dance.
OK, Chris Addison.
I would like to pick that dance the shadows do. the horizontal dancing at the end of Gogi's Girl.
Oh, lying on the grass and
lying
dancing.
Lying on the grass,
yeah,
dancing,
good, yeah.
So you don't fall off the world. And cannibal dancing, as observed, not from the middle of the circle.
And Will Smith.
I'll go for the MC Hammer dance.
Yep.
Also Scottish country dancing, which I did for a term at school and during all. Yes, yeah, mock away like everyone did at the time. But at the end of that term, I gave up the dancing, but I had two ceremonial swords, so I was the cool one acting out Highlander in the garden. And also the walk like an Egyptian dance from the Bangles, which is apparently not the Egyptian national dance, as I found out at a Cairo disco.
Nobody's played their Joker. Let's see what's in Jenny's envelope. Noisily open it, please.
Right. Favourite dance, contemporary, expressive, modern dance. Preferably publicly, just to upset people. And then someone puts on some music and we pretend to be crocuses and fireworks. And it's best if you're really fat as well, because that really upsets them. Good. OK. My other dance... is dancing with wolves. I like that. And the only dance I'm capable of anymore, which is I do the bop, because that's what happens when you're my age and you go to weddings and you end up doing this sort of thing.
Just to describe what Jenny looked like there, that was a child with mittens that have strings attached doing propellers.
Point, I think, to Chris. Just for describing another person's dance. OK, then. No points for matches there, I'm afraid, in that round. But we do find, at the end of that, adding up all the other points, that in joint third place, Richard Herring and Jenny Eclair. In second place, Will Smith. But in the lead, Mr. Chris Addison. OK, now for one of our quickfire rounds. This one is called Either Or, where we award points not for the answer, but for the reasoning behind it. Jenny Eclair, you're first. Oh. Either Or, BAFTA or Brit?
I think I'm going to get a BAFTA because of my small but crucial cameo role in Holby City recently.
Good, selfish, but 2 points. Chris Addison, Kelly Holmes or Sherlock Holmes?
I think Kelly Holmes, because although Sherlock Holmes could solve the murder for you, he's weighed down by tweed, he smokes a lot of pipes, he wouldn't be able to catch anybody, whereas Kelly Holmes would be able to catch up to 7 villains at a time over a distance of between 800 and 1500 metres, assuming that the villains started running at the same time as her and that they paced their race wrong.
You've thought this through. I'll give you 3 points for that. Will Smith, road or rail?
Well, if I want to have an average journey time of about 8 miles an hour, it's road, and if I also want to sit on an old bus, it would be rail. although I'd choose rail because I could go to the toilet.
I'll give you 4 points, Will. Richard Herring, clocks forward or clocks back?
Well, it's got to be clocks back because you get an extra hour in bed when the clocks go back. In fact, if I was in charge, I'd put the clocks back every single day. And conceivably, you could become immortal that way.
I'm going to give you 4 points, Richard, because that is the most philosophical answer I think we've ever had on the programme for a stupid question. So we'll add those points onto our scoreboard and move straight on to our second top three. Will Smith, you're sitting this one out. Please sit back as we hammer out the top three fictional school children. Can you start us off, please? Jenny.
I used to like the Enid Blyton Mallory Towers collection, where there was a girl called Daryl. She had a boy's name, and she liked cold swims, and she liked to towel herself very roughly. And then I like the two from, you know, Greece. And it's Danny and...
Danny Zuko.
Yes, and Sandy. And I like the idea of middle-aged people being allowed to go to high school. Do you remember there was a Please Sir film? And they were sort of on an adventure course. And there was one boy who was meant to be 14. Well, he was 45. He was 45 in pyjamas on a top bunk.
I'm going to give you 2 points. Richard Herring.
I like... there's lots from Grangehill, but my favourite from Grangehill is the girl who said Roland. From Grangehill, who was one of the greatest characters of all time. Even better than Roland himself.
You don't know her name.
Janet.
Ah, well done. You get a point immediately for that.
She couldn't pronounce the word Roland, and that was pretty much the end of her acting career. She was good, but I also like Screech from Saved by the Bell. He was the only ugly kid in... Well, but there were some nerds as well. It was a terrible programme, Saved by the Bell, and I'm ashamed I was about 25 when it was on.
Chris.
Well, I always liked that kid who didn't know who Accrington Stanley were.
In
Accrington Stanley, who are they? You must remember that. There's the milk advert from years and years and years. And he suggested in this milk advert that Ian Rush had told him that he wouldn't, if he didn't drink his milk, he would only be good enough to play for Accrington Stanley. And in fact, that child never went on to play for Liverpool or even Accrington Stanley, but he did have a heart attack at the age of 17 from drinking full fat milk every day. I like Kay Harker, who's the hero of Boxer Delights. Greatest ever children's serial. It was a Christmas serial. It starred Patrick Troughton, who used to be Doctor Who, and the main character was called Kay Harker, and he would say things like, "Well, isn't that the Purple Pip?" And that was a perfectly fair, you know, reasonable thing, apparently, to say. And he spent the entire school holidays wearing a school uniform.
The Centrinians girls were good, but I didn't like that rehash of the movie. I didn't see it, but I knew I'd like it. I'm that kind of woman.
I think most people agreed with that. That's why nobody went to see it.
I like Plug from the Bash Street Kids. Oh!
My favourite fictional school children are the Bash Street Kids, so I'll let you have a point for that. In fact, I'll give you more than 1 point. I'll give you 5 points for that.
Great. Well, Plug's the best one. He's so ugly that when he pulls a face, he becomes handsome.
I like them because in 1954, when it was first drawn, they were supposed to represent a cross-section of all children, which was 8 boys and 1 girl. Really, 1 fat one, 1 stupid one, 1 spotty one, 1 posh one, 1 clever one, and 1 whose jumper went all the way up to his nose. But that's, if you looked at Britain in 1954, that's what all kids were like. Nowadays, it'd just be all fat kids.
It's still quite representative if you think, you know... If you're thinking comedy, anyway, posh one, spotty one woman, you know.
You're absolutely right. That's profound. That is profound. That's the end of that round, then. So let's find out what your top threes are. And if you want to play your joker, please do say so.
Oh, I'm going to risk the joker.
OK, Jenny, your top three, then, and the joker. So what do you think Will has got inside his envelope?
Hermione, Molesworth, and just William.
Richard, do you want to play your joker or not?
I'll play my joker. It's Will Smith. He's predictable, if nothing else. But I think he will have chosen Jennings. That is Will Smith all over. Let's go for Billy Bunter. And I think, out of character, he will have gone for Zamo from Grangehill.
And you, Chris, your top three?
Charlie and Lola. I'm going to count them as one. Nigel Molesworth. And because it's Will, Walter the Softy from Dennis the Menace.
OK, then, Will. A lot of people are putting down challenges here. They think they know what's in your envelope. Prove them right or wrong. Your top three fictional school children,
please. Top three fictional school children are... Gripper Stebson, Flashman...
..from the
Tom Brown books and the Fantastic George MacDonald Fraser books, and Anakin Skywalker. Jedi Academy.
OK, that's no points for those who played their jokers. In fact, no matches at all, but we'll add up the points from the previous round, and we find that in joint third place, Jenny Eclair and Will Smith. Second, Chris Allison. And in the lead, Richard Herring.
Wow.
OK, time for another quickfire round. This time it's Simply the Best, where we get the audience involved. Guests, I'd like all four of you to write down your favourite planet in the solar system, excluding Uranus. As the audience arrived today, we asked them what their favourite planet in the solar system was, and our guests will score points if their favourite is the same as the overall audience favourite. So, Will Smith.
Jupiter.
Jupiter. OK. Jenny Eclair.
Planet Hollywood.
Richard Herring.
I will go for Mars, where all men are coming from.
Okay, Chris Addison.
Saturn, because it has rings around it, which makes it more aerodynamic and easier to throw.
Okay, let's see the audience results then. In third place, with 17% of the vote, Mars. In second place, with 18% of the vote, Earth. Yes! But at number one, with 21% of the vote, is Saturn. Yeah! 5 points to Chris. Oh. We'll push straight on with our next top three. This time, it's your top three hairstyles. Richard, you're sitting this one out. What do you think then, Chris?
I'm a big fan of the beehive. You sort of think of it as a 60s hairdo, but actually it's a copy of an 18th century hairdo from France. They're incredibly structured hairstyles. They used to put ornaments in, like galleons, didn't they? Yeah, and birds in cages and things like that.
Amy Winehouse doesn't have those things in hers.
Well, she does, but she's not put them there. That's where she's fell. That's why, I like the white man's dreadlock. Because that demonstrates absolutely no self-awareness, all sense of humour. And also, you know, when you see somebody, a white man with a dreadlock, you think, I bet you've got a Celtic tattoo. Yeah, it's nice to know one other thing about a person just by looking at their hair. And I think my other real favourite is the back parting. I know people who are losing their hair, but instead of, they don't want to do the comb over. In fact, they haven't got the wherewithal to do the comb over from the side, as is traditional. So what they've done is they've grown their hair really long at the back and pushed it over the front.
Will Smith, you've had the same haircut all your life, I think, haven't you?
No, I had a kind of the sort of bowl cut for the first kind of 18 years, and then I just stuck with this one here.
It's what would you call that?
Normal hair.
I'd call it the fop.
I'm not very experimental when it comes to my own hair, but I do like different haircuts. I also like categorising them, giving them my own names. But I really like the ponytail on a man, or as I like to call it, the otter diving from the bank. Extra points if it's a balding man. That's really good. And they're obviously thinking, oh, people will just think my hair's slipped. And then it gets even better when they untie the otter and it's kind of unfettered and it goes all around. The Terry Nutkins. The comb-over, obviously, is a classic. Although what I like about the comb-over is you never see anyone in the stages of growing out a comb-over, which makes me think there must be some kind of retreat that men can go on.
I'm going to give you a point for saying Terry Nutkins earlier on.
Well, celebrity haircuts are great. I like Brian May. I respect Brian May because he's stuck with that. You know, and he's now the only person in the whole world who can't look at a photo of himself from the 70s and go, look at my hair. Donald Trump. I love Donald Trump's hair because you look at it and you don't know where it starts. Is that coming from his forehead or his neck? I've no idea.
And you don't know what it's made of either.
It's just bizarre. And they do a game on David Letterman called Trump or Monkey. And Letterman shows guests pictures of like the top of a monkey's head. And one of the pictures will be Donald Trump's head. And you have to say Trump or Monkey. But I saw an episode with Donald Trump and he played Trump or Monkey. So he's a good sport. And he got it wrong.
So many choices from the men, and we haven't even had Jenny yet. Jenny.
I like peroxide. I just like an all-over bleach job because, you know, I have a theory that if you go blonde, you're making a statement, and that statement is can't cook, can't type, but I'm a great shag and you can find me in the dark. I like the celebrity haircuts. You know, like Will was saying, haircuts with names. There was a rash in the 90s, I think, of the Rachel. And lots of sort of quite plain girls would go into the hairdressers with a picture of Jennifer Aniston. They expect to come out looking like Jennifer Aniston. And they didn't.
While we're on that subject, can anyone admit to ever taking a photograph into a hairdresser's or barber? Or yes. A famous person? Jenny?
Lady Diana.
Lady Diana! Chris, have you ever taken a photo into the barbers?
I haven't taken a photograph of a famous person. I took a photograph of myself into a barber. I spent my year between school and university in Germany not learning the language, and I avoided going into a hairdresser for 9 months because I just couldn't face it. So after 9 months, it became clear that this was not a tactic that was going to work for much longer, and so I basically rooted through my stuff to find an old picture of myself, sat down in this chair, pointed at it, nodded at him, carried on. I just gave him a bunch of money at the end.
Do you want to get mine quickly for five points?
The mop top.
The mullet.
The mullet.
Yes.
I like the mullet because although it's become unfashionable now, I had one, as did everybody in the 80s. I like the fact that people in Australia kept it going for about another 10 years. So I think that's enough hairstyles. So let's get the top threes, and if you haven't played your Joker, you could play it now, you could wait till round four, so that's completely up to you. Jenny, your top three hairstyles, please.
I'll go for the Rachel, the bleach all-in-one.
The Jenny.
Me. I'll go for the feather cut.
OK, Will, your top three?
I'm going to play my Joker.
OK, what's Richard got?
Well, because it's Richard, I think comb-over, because I think he'll find it funny. mullet, for the same reasons. Mm. And pigtails.
OK, what do you think, Chris?
I'm playing my Joker. I'm going to go for the mullet, I'm going to go for poodle cut, and I'm going to go for monk's tonsure.
OK, then. Richard Herring, time to open the envelope.
It's very exciting. Number one, monk hair.
Wow! We have a match.
Number two, Phil Oakey from Long Short Human League.
Very good, yeah.
And my third favourite haircut is the Stuart Lee spider quiff from 1996. I was watching the other day on YouTube and I thought if I was turned on the TV and saw a bloke with hair like that, I would turn off. And I'm pretty sure that that's what wrecked my career.
I'll give you 2 points for getting some of the poison out there.
Thank you.
OK, then, at the end of that, we find out that Chris Addison scores points for playing the Joker and, say, monk's tonsure, which matched with Richard. Richard, you get an extra point for that too. We add up all the other points and we find that in last place currently is Jenny Eclair, but there's all to play for. Third place, Richard Herring. Second, Will Smith. And in the lead, Chris Addison. OK, time for another round of either or. Points for reasons, not answers, as usual. Chris Addison, gas or electric?
Gas, because I think it adds excitement to cooking. There's always a little frisson of not knowing whether you're going to manage to heat your beans through before a mad oligarch in Russia flicks the switch off.
Excellent. 2 points, I think, for you. Will Smith, little or large?
It's a very personal question. As it happens, large.
I'll give you 2 points for brevity there. Richard Herring, either or, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles or Red Hot Chili Peppers?
I don't think there's anything in the world I hate more than the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Whereas the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles are one of my favourite things. And, but, you know, they're named after painters and, you know, who could... And they're turtles.
Who could ask for more?
Who could ask for more?
Now, 2 points. Jenny Eclair, Adam's apple or Eve's pudding?
Adam's apple, because legend has it that it's the bit of apple that got stuck in Adam's throat that Eve gave it to him. See, blaming women, of course. Obviously, she should have pureed for the idiot. He gulped it back like a greedy fool. So I just like a little bit of evidence that men are greedy and don't chew properly.
Excellent. 3 points. And so we'll add those points together and move on to our final top three. Chris, you're sitting this one out. The rest of you, we'd like your top three things you find in the drawer, under the cutlery drawer, in the kitchen. Something I know you've thought about before. Richard.
I've realised, going through my kitchen drawers, I have more sellotape than I will ever conceivably use in my life. Because every time I need sellotape, I buy a new roll of sellotape. And there's no way in the... I might live for another 40 years. I'm never going to get through the sellotape. I've got about 6 rolls of tin foil that I've bought of all different lengths, which I've bought for some reason. I've got instructions for my electric toothbrush.
How many instructions can there be for the electric toothbrush?
There isn't very many. These are in my kitchen drawer. They are mix your drinks with joy stirrers in the shape of male genitalia. There's enough for everyone to have one. Because I wrote a book about male genitalia, people thought it was good to buy me presents. I mean, if your penis looks like that, you're in serious trouble. That's what I mean.
Although, having said that, if you cut that right down, that would look good on an action man.
Look even better if you didn't cut it down.
Jenny, what's in the drawer under your cutlery drawer in the kitchen?
Tupperware without the lids fitting. Oh, it's annoying, isn't it? And same as quite a lot of the same things as you have.
Penis stirrer.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Tin foil, yes. Birthday candles.
Oh, yeah.
Takeaway menus, I think. And a tea towel with a scorch mark on it.
Will.
Takeaway menus, mostly from restaurants I have no interest in ordering from. Chopsticks I've never used. I've been offered them when I've got a Chinese-Japanese takeaway and just I don't want to come across as culturally ignorant, so I'm like, yes, I want to have the whole experience. Yeah. No, it's ridiculous eating with sticks. We've got knives and forks. No. Post for the previous occupant.
Nice.
Quite a lot of that. A lot of warranty cards for low-grade electrical goods like kettles and blenders, hand blenders, that I haven't bothered sending off because I just can't be bothered. I just think I'd rather just buy a new one than have to ring up and go through a conversation with someone at a call centre who only got the job because they could read the prepared responses off the computer screen, whereas the other applicants just sat there licking it. So... And then also the instruction manuals for the aforementioned low-grade electrical goods, which I keep in the vain hope that I'm going to use it as some kind of Rosetta Stone to learn 12 different languages.
Anyone else want to throw anything else in the drawer? I've actually put three things down, so you've got three chances of getting one of mine, but I thought I'd make it easy for you.
Vitamins.
No.
Oven glove.
No, that's in the cupboard.
Post-it, post-it notes. Blue tack.
Broken
elastic
thermometer.
Bands. Drawing pins.
Euros.
Euros?
Yeah, I always got euros in the drawer.
What, in case you're hungry? What are you talking about?
The length of plastic clothesline is in there.
Oh, okay.
And some of those felt pads that are on the bottom of chairs.
Of course.
Stop them scratching.
Oh, God, how did we not get that?
I don't know how you didn't get that.
I feel such a fool.
OK, that's your lot, I'm afraid. So, for the last time, I'm about to ask you for your top threes. All jokers have been played. Jenny Eclair, your top three things found in the drawer under the cutlery drawer in the kitchen.
A Tupperware, tin foil, and tea towels.
OK. Will?
Takeaway menus, warranty cards, and tea towels.
And Richard?
I will go for takeaway menus, though I can't believe Chris Addison has ever eaten from a takeaway in his life.
Well, you don't need to when you have staff.
I will go for batteries. And sellotape.
If he hasn't got any sellotape...
I've got some of
he knows where to go. Chris, noisy envelope. Your top three things found in the drawer, under the cutlery drawer, in the kitchen, please.
The back piece of the cutlery drawer. Corkscrew. Cardboard roll that used to have cling film on it.
So no matching points there, I'm afraid. Let us then add up all the points from the previous round we find at the end of today's show. Our top three losers... are Richard Herring, Jenny Eclair and Will Smith. And our winner is Chris Addison. So that's all from us for today's show. A big thank you to all my guests. And finally, the answers to last week's Sudoku quiz were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 and 9. Goodbye.
Banter was presented by Andrew Collins and featured Chris Addison, Jenny Eclair, Richard Herring and me, Will Smith. The show was devised by Tim Barber and the producer was Alison Carpenter. Banter is an Avalon production for BBC Radio 4.